Rivaretti stated this morning, we considered in this fourth chapter of Matthew's Gospel how the devil, Satan, how the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer, came and tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. Now tonight we want to consider how we might triumph over the temptations of the devil. It was, of course, no coincidence that the devil came with his temptations as the Savior was about to embark upon his public ministry. A ministry that would eventually and inevitably bring the Lord Jesus to that place called Calvary. Keeping that in mind, it was, of course, Satan's purpose and his plan to do all in his power to keep the Son of Man from the cross. Remember how he put it into the heart of Herod to slay all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. He had heard that the Messiah had come. He had heard that he was born in Bethlehem. And though he searched for him, he could not find him. And so he thought of this plan, put into his heart by the devil, of course, to slay every child 2 years and under in the hope that he would catch the Lord Jesus in that net and that the Christ child would be one of those who would be slain. This was the plan of the devil, to slay the Lord Jesus Christ, to stop him ever reaching the cross. Dear child of God, had the devil been successful, had Herod been successful, there would have been no one. There would have been no one to go to the cross on our behalf. Remember also how later on, not long after the temptation in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus went into his own town where he had been brought up. He entered the synagogue there in Nazareth. He opened the scriptures at Isaiah 61 and began to read. And when he had finished reading, he sat down and he gave the book to the minister. And then he began to preach from that passage. And he told his congregation that today this scripture was fulfilled. The Lord Jesus then began to preach. And he preached from that passage a great doctrine that some do not like today. He preached the doctrine of election. And when he had finished preaching, once again, the devil put it into the hearts of the people in that congregation to lead the Lord Jesus out onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You can see again the plan of the devil. You can see the hand of Satan on this scheme. because the devil wanted to prevent the Lord Jesus from ever getting to the cross of Calvary. He wanted to prevent the Lord Jesus from ever reaching that place where he might shed his blood and he might pay the ransom and pay the price of salvation. And had those people that were in that synagogue in Nazareth that day, had they succeeded? Had they cast the Lord Jesus headlong down the side of that hill, then there would have been no one to go to the cross on our behalf. And then later, still after he had told his hearers, before Abraham was, I am. Satan was at his work again, stirring up the people. For we read in John 58 and 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. Had they been given their way, if they had have had their way, the Lord Jesus would have suffered the same fate as Stephen. The Lord Jesus passed through the midst of them and left them. And once more we see, had Satan succeeded then, there would have been no one to go to the cross on our behalf. And those incidents, believer, that we have referred to tonight, there's an interesting link. There's a truth there that links them all together. And it is this. Wherever the deity or whenever the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ was presented to the people, that's when the people were stirred up. That's when they wanted to slay the Lord Jesus. That's when they wanted to put him to death. When he preached from Isaiah 61 and set forth his deity, it was then that Satan was stirred, and he stirred up the people to cast the Lord Jesus headlong down the side of a mountain. When the Lord Jesus later said, before Abraham was, I am the great I am. Once more, Satan was stirred up and caused the people to gather their stones and be ready to cast them at the Lord Jesus. And here in the wilderness, it's the same thing. As soon as the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, then it was then that Satan came against the Lord Jesus. This teaches us, believer, that of all the doctrines we have in this great book of ours, in the book of God, the one doctrine that the devil hates most is the doctrine of the deity of the Lord Jesus. He hates the doctrine of the deity of Christ. He hates to think that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And he hated it when the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man and came into this world, not just to live, but came into this world to die and to go to that place called Calvary. And the devil would use every ounce of his power stop Christ from ever getting to the cross. And that is what he is about here. And the devil comes before the Lord Jesus with his temptation. And dear child of God, had the devil succeeded that day in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus could not have gone to Calvary. The Lord Jesus could not have gone to the cross as the just to die for the unjust. Had he surrendered to the temptations of the devil, then he who knew no sin could not have been made sin for us at Calvary. Had he yielded to the temptations of the devil, he must go to that place called Calvary. He must go to that place on Golgotha's hill. He must go there as the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. That's what the devil was about. He had hoped that he could have got Christ to yield to his temptations. But all through those 40 days and nights in the wilderness, being tempted every day being tempted of the devil, the Lord Jesus, glory to his name, did not bend, did not yield, did not break. And as we have seen in our reading from Luke 4, he left the wilderness in the power of the Spirit of God. He hadn't been wounded in any shape or form. He had engaged the battle well. He had stood toe to toe with the enemy, and glory to his name, he had slain the enemy. He had defeated the tempter. He overcame the tempter and went on his way, the sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Glory to his name. He left the wilderness after that encounter with the devil, and he went on to be the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. To know that our Savior has defeated the devil and defeated the devil for us. And how did he defeat him? 40 days being tempted. Tempted every day, probably every night. The Lord Jesus defeated the tempter. And how did he do it? He slew the dragon. He bruised the serpent's head when he laid hold upon the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how he did it. He defeated the devil. He drove back the old serpent. He caused the devil to leave him. He did it by saying to each temptation, "It is." It is written. It is written. And dear Christian, if we are to experience this victory over the temptations of Satan, we also must lay hold upon the sword of the Spirit. Because when we look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we can say with David, as David said of the sword of Goliath, David said, "There is none like it. Give it me." We can use that description of this book and of this Bible and of the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. There is none like it. Give it me. We can use this sword to slay the devil. And every time he comes against us with his temptations, we will triumph. We will triumph if we use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let us then consider the Lord Jesus and his use of the sword of the Spirit. Let us first of all consider that it was the preferred weapon of Christ. It was the preferred weapon of Christ. The Lord Jesus, as we know, had many weapons in his arsenal. He could have chosen any one of a number of weapons to slay the devil that day in the wilderness, to silence the tempter. But he chose the sword of the Spirit. He chose the Word of God. What other weapons could Christ have used against the devil that day? He could have used his glory. He preferred the sword of the Spirit to his glory that day. The Lord Jesus might have defeated the devil by unveiling his own glory. For the brightness of the divine majesty and glory was hidden within the humility of his manhood. And if he had lifted the veil and revealed his glory but for a moment, that fiend of hell would have been utterly confounded. But he didn't do that. He used the sword of the Spirit instead. I'd like you to turn, please, to Exodus, chapter 33. In Exodus 33, we find here Moses before the Lord, and we have recorded the prayer of Moses, Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now we read what the answer was. We read in verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord was saying to Moses, Moses, I cannot show you my glory. As it is to be seen in my face. Because no man can see my face. No man can see my glory and live. And had the Lord Jesus unveiled his glory in the wilderness, the devil would have been confounded. The devil would have been defeated. The devil would have been overthrown. He would have defeated the devil by unveiling his glory. So you see, that's how he defeated Pharaoh. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, and Pharaoh was determined that he would not let the people go, the Lord defeated Pharaoh by his glory. For we read in Numbers chapter 14, Numbers 14 and verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt, and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. How did he defeat Pharaoh? How did he overthrow the enemy of Israel? Here the Lord himself says how it was done. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt, the Lord overthrew Pharaoh by means of his glory. This glory could have been seen, and this glory could have been used against Satan in the wilderness, but Christ preferred to use, it is written, he preferred to use the sword of the Spirit. But wait, make no mistake about it, that in the last days, that's how Christ will defeat the devil. By revealing his glory. We read in Matthew 25 about the Lord Jesus coming. And in Matthew 25 we are told, and verse 31, and when the Son of Man shall come, how will he come? Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to come in his glory. Mark the words. Because when you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, we read there about the Lord's coming. And we read there about the Lord overthrowing the devil. And overthrowing that wicked one. And how will he do it? He will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Or the brightness of his glory. But he didn't use the brightness of his glory to overthrow the devil in the wilderness. Instead, on that occasion, he chose the Word of God. He chose, it is written. It is written. Believer, we have a trusty weapon here. If the Lord Jesus preferred to use the sword of the Spirit rather than use his glory to defeat the devil, then we have here a weapon that we can depend on. We have a trusty weapon. We have a weapon. The Lord has proven it. We have a weapon that will defeat the devil. Here it is. It's God's book. It is written. Let's think of something else the Lord could have used. But he preferred to use the sword of the Spirit. He could have used his greatness. The Lord could have used one of the number of ways to overthrow the devil. He could have dealt with Satan by one of his mighty acts. As he dealt with those who rose up against Moses and Aaron. Turn to Numbers 16. Here we see the greatness of God demonstrated. Numbers chapter 16. And there we read about those who rose up against Moses and Aaron. We have Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they began to murmur against Moses. And they said, Moses, you're taking too much upon yourself. They wanted a prominent place in the camp of Israel. And the Lord took a very dim view of it. And the Lord was going to judge them. Notice how he dealt with them. Look at verse 33, number 16. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground cleave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. Look at verse 33. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And I tell you, believer, the Lord, as he was there in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, being slandered by the evil one, the Lord could have performed the same mighty acts. And the Lord could have caused the earth to cleave asunder and to swallow up the devil, and to have plunged them there and then down into the pit. He could have done it. He could have done it. Because he's God. But instead, he chose the sword of the Spirit. But wait, the Lord wasn't finished with Korah and his cohort. Look at the next verse in number 16, verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Fire came out from the Lord. That same fire could have come out from that same Lord in the wilderness that day and consumed the devil. But instead, in defeating the devil and overthrowing the accuser, he chose the sword of the Spirit. And here, dear child of God, here is the weapon we may use. The Lord Jesus preferred to use this weapon above some great act in the wilderness. You and I, we could not perform any act like that. We could not command the earth to cleave asunder and swallow up the devil. We cannot command fire from heaven. But one thing we can do, we can use the Bible. We can use the sword. We can use the Word of God. Here is a weapon that is within our reach. Here is a weapon that we already have in our hands. And this is the weapon we may use against the devil. This is the weapon that we may use to slay him, just as the Lord used it. And when the devil comes against us with his temptations, we can answer those temptations with a verse from the Scriptures, with a promise from God, and we'll defeat the devil every time. You think of another way the Lord could have defeated the devil in the wilderness. He could have called his guardian angels. What was to hinder the Lord Jesus calling to his side the forces of heaven? Our Lord might have overcome Satan that day by angelic force. Even the very angels the devil spoke about when he quoted that verse from Deuteronomy. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. He had only to pray to the Father, and he would presently have sent him 12 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels against whose might and force and power this fiend from hell could not have stood one moment. But instead of angelic power, the Savior used it. He used the sword of the Spirit, teaching us to defeat the devil. The Lord Jesus didn't need any outside assistance to defeat the devil that day. He did it single-handedly with the Word of God. Great truth this. We may trust this book to defeat the devil. We may trust this book because God's omnipotence is in this book. This is God's Word. It's the living Word of the living God. The devil doesn't have a weapon in his arsenal that can match this weapon. Doesn't have one. Oh, he has many. But there's none of them like this one. And so we see that it was the preferred weapon of Christ. We see also that it was the powerful weapon of Christ. The Lord Jesus had no hesitation laying hold on this weapon, and that's what he turned to immediately. Once the temptations began, he immediately, as it were, reached for the sword of the Spirit. He was aware of its power and its potential. It's a powerful weapon, this book. Not what Paul said in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and it is powerful. The word powerful there, we have many words for power and powerful in the Scriptures. But the word there for powerful is a word that may be translated energetic. It's a word that we get our English word energy from. My believer, there's plenty of energy in this book. This isn't a dead book. This book wasn't written by mere men. This book was written by God. Holy men were moved by God. And they wrote as they were inspired to write. This is the infallible and the inspired Word of God. And the Lord used this weapon against the devil and the temptations of the devil because we have here an invincible weapon. It's invincible. This book is invincible. Each time Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, the Lord responded in exactly the same way every time. It is written. It is written. It is written. Notice Notice that when Christ said that, let us take, for example, the first temptation that we have recorded here, verse 3, Matthew 4. And the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You notice something? That was the end of the argument. The devil didn't come back to the Lord Jesus and continue along the same lines and the same theme and the same argument. When the Lord Jesus said, "It is written," that was the end of the argument. The best he could do was to go on to something else with another temptation. And when he answered that temptation by the same means and in the same way, again, that was the end of the argument. And off the devil went to another temptation. And when the Lord Jesus answered in the same way, hallelujah, the devil gave up. And he left him for a season. This is an invincible word. The sword of the Spirit. This book has never known defeat. You know, when you think of it, whenever the JWs come to your door, and the Mormons, and they go off on their spiel, when you answer them with the Scriptures, and you bring the Word of God, the truth of God's Word to them, what do? They skip on to something else. When they can't answer you, and they can't answer the book, well then they go on another direction. Just what the devil did. Exactly the same tactic that the devil used. Of course, the cults are doing the devil's work anyway. So it's no surprise when the JWs and the Mormons behave in exactly the same way as the devil. And when we use the word against the cults, against the false prophets, they have no answer. This book is invincible. And when we preach from this book, and we preach against the devil's kingdom, souls are saved out of his kingdom. He can't hold on to them when this book is preached. It's an invincible book. I want you to notice something else. Notice that against each temptation, the Lord Jesus used the same weapon. Verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10. It is written, it is written, it is written. All different temptations, but the same weapon. Now that tells us that it doesn't matter what temptation the devil may come to us with, the Word of God is able to defeat it. Whatever the temptation is, we don't need to go and look for another weapon. No, we just take up the sword of the Spirit again. And if it repelled the temptations of the devil in the past, and he comes against us with a new temptation and a different temptation, we can go and lay hold upon the same weapon again, because the same weapon will gain us the victory. Whatever the temptation, whatever way the devil decides to attack us, we can use this weapon, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We notice also that this is a weapon for the individual. The Lord Jesus was alone when he faced Satan in the wilderness. And the value of the Holy Scriptures is not only to be seen in public when the Word is preached and people are taught from the preaching and the teaching of Scripture, when they hear the truths of God. But this weapon is just as valuable when we find ourselves alone and we're enduring personal trial. We appreciate this word just the same. And the word, when it is preached to us in public, is of great value and benefit to us. But it's just as valuable and just as beneficial when we sit before it in our closet and read it alone. It's just as valuable then. And the severest struggles of the true child of God are usually unknown to all but the child of God himself. And so what is he or she to do? Take up the Word. Take up the Word. It's the Word, it's a weapon for the individual. You know, believer, we ought to thank God every day for those men, and indeed those women, down through the years of church history, who sacrificed, who struggled, who lived, and who died, that we might have this book in our hands. Because here it is. We have it in our own tongue. We can use it. We can read it. And we can use it against the devil. It's our own personal weapon. It's the weapon for the individual. Notice, we need to know this book. Like any weapon, we need to know how to use it. Look at the subtlety of the devil. Verse 6. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Here's the devil using Scripture in tempting the Lord. And you know, believer, the devil does that, and I'm sure has done it with us. We may be tempted to do something, and before we know it, the devil can bring a verse of Scripture to our mind that would seem to say, it's all right to do that. It's all right to yield to that temptation. He brings a verse of Scripture to us in isolation. Just grabs a verse out of the book. We need to know how to answer the devil. We need to know the book. Because the Lord Jesus again answered the devil by the Scriptures. And again, if we might use those JWs that come to the door, oh, they'll come to you with Scripture. You need to know the book to be able to answer them, because often they will take a verse of Scripture in isolation, take it completely out of its context, and they will twist it and turn it to mean what they want it to mean. Now, how are we going to answer them? The only way we can answer them is again by the use of the Word, but we need to know the Word. We need to be familiar with the book. And the Lord Jesus was familiar with the book. He knew where to turn to. And the devil came to him with these temptations. And all the quotes that he gave are all from the book of Deuteronomy, one of the books of Moses. Now, some boys today would throw out the books of Moses. Some ministers today would throw out the whole Old Testament. They would. Yet it was that passage, our passages in Deuteronomy, that Christ used to slay the devil. Does that not show us the power of the Old Testament? It's the same power that's in the New. It's a complete book. Glory to God, we have a great book here. This weapon may have been chosen because it is an immortal. You know, there are some weapons that have been used, no doubt, in the Second World War that soldiers and generals would never think of using today because they're all out of date. When you think of the attack on Iraq and the Desert Storm, and how they were able to pinpoint the target and use a bomb that only destroyed the target and yet left the buildings around it still standing. Didn't have anything like that in World War II. The weapons they used then, many of them are out of date. Here's a weapon that will never be out of date. Here's a weapon that will never need to be replaced. Here's a weapon that will never need to be updated. Here's a weapon that the Lord Jesus used. And glory to God, we can use it today. It's the living word. It's the immortal word. What did the Lord say? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never, never pass away. It'll live forever. And finally, we see that it was the perfect weapon for Christ. It's a perfect weapon for Christ, the Word of God, because He is the Word of God. He's the Word incarnate. And we read there in verse 10, "Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then," there's that word again, "then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels," there's those angels, "came and ministered unto him." He needed to be ministered to. He had been through a fierce battle. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Needed to be ministered to. When did the devil leave him? When the Lord Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan." The Lord rebuked the devil himself. His word was as powerful as the word that he quoted from Deuteronomy. He is the word. And as I said before, never address the devil. Never speak to the devil. Never rebuke the devil. Let the Lord do that. He's better at it than we are. We shouldn't be on speaking terms with the devil. Let the Lord rebuke him on our behalf. And when Christ rebukes them, the devil will flee from us. This is the perfect weapon because it defeated Satan. It defeated Satan. The devil leaveth him. not only defeated Satan, but it caused Satan to depart. The perfect weapon. I don't know why anybody would want any other weapon to face the devil and the devil's crowd. Whether it's an old apostate minister, whether it's a representative of some false cult, whether it is some false prophet that's spewing out some heresy. Let's not go after them with our logic and our arguments. Let's go after them with this great book in our hands, and we'll win the battle every time. Every time. We'll defeat the devil every time when we use the sword of the Spirit. How may we triumph over temptation? By the use of that sword which is the Word of God. For it is quick, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. May the Lord lead us into the book. May the Lord teach us more about the book. May we become more skilled in the use of the sword. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear loving God and our gracious Father, we bless Thee for this word. This word, Lord, that we have tonight in our hands. And, O Lord, may it ever be in our hearts. We pray, O gracious God, that we might hide this word in our hearts as we would hide some precious jewel. Lord, as we would hide some precious treasure out of the reach of the evil one, of the thieves and the robbers. Help us, Lord, to hide this word in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. O gracious God, may our very hearts and minds become saturated with the Word of God. May we be able to quote Scripture easily. And O gracious Father, help us as we learn the use of the sword. Bless this Word to our hearts tonight. We rejoice, Lord. We do not need to live in defeat. But there is triumph for us. There is victory for us over the devil and over his temptations. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we leave this house of worship. May we go on our way rejoicing. Rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And keep thy hand upon us, Lord, till we meet again here in this place around the mercy seat. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore until Jesus comes in the brightness of His glory. Amen.